This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.
This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Very good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV in with you today, and we'll be here until 2 o'clock taking your phone calls and talking about what's going on in your sports world. And, well, more specifically, what happened last night at the Breslin Center. Michigan State's convincing 75-52 win over the Wolverines. And after the first 8 to 10 minutes, Michigan never really in that ball game at all. The lead ballooned over 30 for Michigan State before that final decisive score of 75-52, giving Michigan State a two-game lead over the Wolverines in the Big Ten Conference. We will discuss that. We've got a couple of special guests today. We'll make contact with Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, get his insights on last night's game. We'll also talk to Joe Rexrode, beat writer for Michigan State from the Detroit Free Press. We'll talk to him mainly about that. We'll get into a little bit of football as well with Joe, and we'll also take your phone calls today at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or you can reach us toll free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. We also want to remind all the listeners out there that we do have a hockey ticket giveaway that we will be drawing for at the end of today's show. And if you'd like to be involved in that drawing, we have two tickets for the game on Friday and another two tickets for the game on Saturday at Munn Ice Arena, as the Spartans will host Northern Michigan. 884-4783 is that telephone number if you want to get in the drawing for the hockey tickets. 884-4783. Alex is on the other side of the glass today. He will be taking your phone calls. He is also producing today's show, keeping us on the air and doing an excellent job over there. So, a couple of different ways to get involved in today's program. You can do so, as I mentioned, by calling. And as some of you know who've heard me host this show before, I'm very active on Twitter, and I haven't mentioned that here over the first couple of days, but if you would like to get involved in the show via Twitter, love to hear from you, at Jeremy, J-E-R-E-M-Y, W-I-L-X is my Twitter handle. So if you want to get involved that way, we would certainly love to take your tweets, and we'll read some of the best ones on the air if we get a couple here this afternoon as well. Well, we talked yesterday about how I thought that the game could go down to the last possession. I mean, I think everybody who made a prediction about this game thought it was going to be a close game, and that could not have been farther from the truth. A couple of things stood out to me last night. First and foremost was Michigan State's defensive intensity. They played defense last night like they haven't played all year long. And it prompted Coach Izzo to say after the game that Michigan State played their best game in 3 years. And in talking to Derek Nix about that after the game, somebody who's obviously in his fourth year, he agreed with that. He said, you know, that's absolutely right. We played as well as we have in 3 years, and maybe in all of my 4 years. And, you know, Coach Izzo talked about as well, it could have been a little bit of a perfect storm. We played one of our best games, and they did not. Now, it's tough for any team to come into the Breslin Center and win. Michigan State's won 31 of their last 32 games. The one loss came last year against Ohio State in the final game of the Big Ten regular season, caused that three-way tie for the championship. So, again, not easy for teams to come in here and win, and oftentimes teams don't play well at all, and that's what happened to Michigan. But I'd like to give Michigan State a lot of the credit for Michigan not playing well. I mean, especially defensively. You know, you look at Tim Hardaway, you know, 1 of 11 from the floor. He was 1 of 15 here last year. And, you know, he has just had a hard time shooting in the Breslin Center. And for whatever reason, I think you have to give Michigan State's defense a lot of credit. Keith Appling set the tone. And, you know, 2 games ago, I saw a little different look in his eye, and it's just the pressure right now that he's putting on the ball and that he's putting on his defender. He did pick up a couple of cheapy fouls, but the way Michigan State played defense last night really hampered Michigan. As John Beilein said after the game, we just could not get into any kind of rhythm. We couldn't find our offense. And the reason that they could not find their offense was easy. It was Michigan State. And they were well scouted. I talked to Dane Fife, assistant coach, after the game. He, as many of you know, the assistants kind of trade on and off scouts for different teams. And this one was his responsibility. They, as I mentioned, they just trade on and off. So this one was kind of his turn to have this scout. So, he gave a lot of credit to the other assistants, graduate assistants, anybody who had a hand in helping Michigan State with this game plan. And there were plenty of people, but the game plan was executed to perfection. The Spartans saw an advantage that they had on the interior. And while I think Mitch McGarry is going to be a fabulous player in the Big Ten, he's still a freshman. And being a freshman in the Big Ten, having to go up against somebody like Derek Nix, who is very skilled and has 4 years of seasoning under his belt, is a tough thing for any freshman to have to do. So Michigan State wanted to go inside. They wanted to pound it inside. They were able to do so. And when they did so, they had a lot of success on the offensive end. The other thing that caught my eye was Michigan's youth. Now, we've seen Michigan get off to slow starts in games at Indiana, at Wisconsin, and battle back. We've seen them, come back. Indiana, they got off to a bit of a slow start as well, and they were able to come back in that game. And I kept waiting for the Michigan run. I kept waiting for, that Michigan surge to happen, and it just never happened. And I think in large part, to use one of my favorite phrases, they kind of put their daubers down a little bit. The crowd got to them, the environment got to them, and I really think that was a situation last night where their youth really showed. A veteran team may have taken a couple of those haymakers from Michigan State, gotten back up off the canvas and said, we'll take your best shot, but we're going to come right back at you. This Michigan team last night, there was no comeback in them. When they got knocked down, it was a standing eight count, and they were down for good. There was no comeback in that Michigan team. So the way that this all played out last night, is best case scenario for Michigan State. Again, they have a two-game lead over Michigan with seven games left to play. They still have to go to Ann Arbor, and certainly that's going to be no easy task for Michigan State to go down there and get a win, especially with the way this game turned out. Michigan is going to be ready to play when Michigan State comes to town in early March. And again, the date of that game has not yet been determined yet. That will be determined by television. But when the Spartans roll into Ann Arbor, they're not going to see the same Michigan team that they saw last night in the Breslin Center. That is for sure. We want to remind you of our telephone numbers again today to get involved in today's program. And if you would like to jump in, now would be a great time before we get our guests on at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR or toll free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR. 870. We also want to remind you again of our ticket giveaway for a pair of hockey tickets for both Friday and Saturday, and we will have that drawing at the end of today's show. If you're interested in either one of those dates and going to either one of those hockey games, you can call us at 884-4783. That's 884-4783 for that hockey ticket giveaway. The Spartans in Northern Michigan, MSU trying to get out of the basement of the Big Ten. The one down note from last night was Brandon Dawson's injury. And looking at him on the bench and following him as closely as I did last night, he was woozy to be sure. He was dazed and confused and looked like he was just out of it and kind of put the towel over his head. It's one of those things where, if you've ever gotten dinged or gotten a concussion, and they did say after the game that this did not appear to be a concussion, which is good news. But, light sometimes bothers you, so kind of had the towel over his head and went off into the locker room before the game was over. He was not made available to the media. He was in the locker room. We did see him, but he was not made available to the media to talk. The good news is it doesn't sound like it's a concussion, and hopefully he will be back for Michigan State when they play Nebraska coming up this weekend. Let's go out to our phone lines today at 355-9527. Welcome in Todd, who's in Lake Orion. Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well. The world is a little more green and a little more white than it was the day before, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, it sure is. What are some of your thoughts on the game from last night?
Well, I want a question on your opinion, then I have a thought of my own. You bring up how Michigan's freshmen that didn't play well were maybe intimidated and maybe hit a wall because they're freshmen, which, you know, I guess is somewhat conventional thinking. But then how do you explain how well Gary Harris, Denzel Valentine, and Matt Costello played? They're freshmen as well, right?
They were playing at home.
but they played as many games. I mean, if
yeah.
Fatigue issue and an experience issue and, you know, that type of thing. And I agree. Yeah, everyone tends to play, I don't care what it is, better at home than on the way. But the bottom line is those three freshmen played, I'm not going to use the word exceptional, but were very large contributors and certainly are, to Gary Harris's point, might have, in a way, been the difference in the game. But if three freshmen, Michigan State freshmen, were able to perform as well as I feel they did, then why weren't Michigan's freshmen able to perform as well?
Well, we need to talk, Todd, after that game in Ann Arbor, and then we'll compare and contrast how each freshman played, you know, on the other guy's home floor. Because, I mean, when I say youth, I wasn't specifically pointing out the freshmen, although, you know, it sounds like that. But Michigan is a young team. I mean, they have no big road wins this year, and that is the pure sign of a young team. You just haven't been through those battles and being able to win a big game on the road, and I think that's what showed last night more than anything.
Or it could be this. Maybe they didn't bring the effort that was necessary, and I think that that's a subject for debate. I mean, I'm sure they got on the bus and they wanted to come, and they showed up and they played, but I didn't see anybody on that court for the University of Michigan that seemed like, hey, I'm going to step up and I'm going to do something about it. I didn't see any great leadership on that court from either the coaching staff or the players that were, hey, we're going to put an end to this. We're going to do something. Now, are we going to win this game? Obviously, it became apparent that they weren't going to win it, but I'm not even sure how much competition went along with that. And I'll counter what you're going to say. Michigan State does not win every game it plays, certainly, but they expect to win every game they play. It doesn't matter where it's played. They go to Kansas, are they going to win? I don't know, but they expect to win. They go to Indiana, are they going to win? I don't know, but they expect to win. I don't think Michigan expected to win yesterday. And if you don't bring that on the road, you won't win.
Well, John Beilein talked about that after the game. He said, look, we were excited in the locker room. We looked like we wanted to play. But as I mentioned in some of my opening remarks, when he looked in their eyes 12 minutes into the game, he wasn't getting that response that you're talking about back to him. He wasn't getting that fire, that, hey, let's bring it type of mentality. It was more of, oh, no, here we go. And I think there's a very valid point you bring up that they didn't bring it emotionally and physically last night. They just didn't have it. But I think you have to give Michigan State credit for that.
Well, and I agree, and I will also I'm going to agree with your point that I think it will be a much closer game in Ann Arbor. But let's be honest, Michigan can't practice for what Michigan State brings. I mean, you could say they can gain experience, they can play at home, but their matchup problems don't go away. I mean, they can play this game on the moon, and they don't have an answer for Nick and Payne. I don't know that they have an answer for Gary Harris. Now, again, do I expect a more competitive game? Yeah, their pride's going to be on the line. They're at home, and they're going to play away. But I'm kind of fascinated why this whole role reversal is going to go away. John Beilein isn't going to be able to do anything about the matchup problems he has moving forward against Michigan State. They don't just suddenly go away because you're playing in Ann Arbor. The baskets are still 10 feet high. The court's still 90 feet long. I mean, why just because the game's being played in Ann Arbor does all the disadvantages that Michigan have suddenly go away?
It happens. If you follow college basketball, teams play differently at home than they do on the road. And Michigan's not going to win any games when Tim Hardaway shoots 1 of 11. I mean, that's just not going to happen.
then he needs to play better.
He does.
But that also might be an indication of how well Michigan State played defense.
Absolutely. There's no question. We talked about that yesterday. We said, who's going to guard Hardaway? Who's going to slow him down? Because he's been one of the best guards in the country. And you have to give Brandon Dawson a lot of credit for that, because that was his matchup for most of the game, and he did the job.
Well, and you bring effort with you. And one thing, I don't care, you know, you want to talk about whatever you want to say about Michigan State. Michigan State always brings effort. So that effort isn't going to be any less in Ann Arbor than it is in East Lansing. I mean, they're going to want to win that game just as badly. So if your calling card is effort, I don't expect to see Michigan State's effort go down from now on. They know what they're playing for. They're playing for a Big Ten championship. They're playing for a high seed, maybe a number one seed in the Big Ten tournament. And this coaching staff and these players know what the expectation is. Their effort, their execution may go down, but their effort is not going to wane in the least.
All right, Todd, we appreciate the thoughts today. Good talking to you and some interesting thoughts on that game for sure. But we invite you to stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870.
President Obama issues the State of the Union address, then Marco Rubio responds for the GOP and Rand Paul for the Tea Party. Plus sequestration, a squabble over Hagel in the Senate. Jesse Jackson Jr. makes a plea deal, and two presidential speechwriters join us to review the State of the Union message. I'm Neil Conan. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins us next. Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's coming up on Talk of the Nation today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870.
Today's high, 37 degrees, and look for mostly sunny skies. Partly cloudy and a low of 28 tonight. Thursday will be mostly cloudy with a chance of light rain and snow and a high of 40. Cloudy and windy Friday with a chance of snow and a high in the upper 20s. This is Scott Pohl.
Thanks very much, Scott, and welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR from Michigan State University. It's 1:23 here on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Jeremy Sampson. I'll be joining you until 2 o'clock this afternoon talking sports, and more specifically about that Michigan-Michigan State basketball game last night, the Spartans winning in convincing fashion 75-52 over Michigan. And again, that gives them a two-game lead in the Big Ten with seven games left to go, and puts Michigan State in a very good position, as Tom Izzo talked about. They have a lot of work left to do, but puts them in a very good position to try and win another Big Ten championship and ultimately get a very high seed in the NCAA tournament. And now we start looking at where Michigan State might play in the NCAA tournament, and there's a very good chance that both Michigan and Michigan State could be playing at the Palace of Auburn Hills, which would be interesting to have those two teams down there and going after each other, and the fans and who they would cheer for and how they would react to the opposing team for sure. Todd mentioned some of the freshmen and some of the younger guys from Michigan State that did step up last night and did play very well. Matt Costello came off the bench. He played very well for Michigan State, chipped in offensively last night, and Costello had 8 points off the bench and did a really nice job, and did a very nice job on defense as well. So overall, it was a complete game for Michigan State, and as Tom Izzo said, one of the best his team has played here over the last 3 years. Let's go back out to our guest line right now and welcome in Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, college basketball writer. You also see him on the Big Ten Network. Good afternoon, Mike. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you today, Jeremy?
Doing good, thank you. What were your initial thoughts last night? I mean, we were all surprised at the game that the outcome was what it was, and I don't think anybody really saw that kind of a spread as Michigan State winning this one by 23 coming last night.
No, not that profound. The difference at halftime, I would not have been surprised if that were the difference at the end. But such a one-sided game, I did not expect. Although I did certainly, I think I had of the analysts that were polled by the Detroit Free Press, I think I had the widest margin of any at 5 points. I had it like 76-71. So I don't know what the spread was or anything like that. I don't pay attention to that stuff. But I did think that the Spartans would win, and that it wouldn't be a buzzer deal. That said, I thought that what they did last night was a pretty profound statement on both parts, on Michigan State's intent and potential, and on what Michigan has to have in order to be competitive with the best teams in college basketball. I don't think that the Wolverines have gotten enough of a pass, so to speak, or I don't know exactly what the word is there, but they're not getting the same sympathy, maybe that's the word, as Duke is for not having Ryan Kelly. Now, part of that is because Ryan Kelly's return is not imminent, but the absence of Jordan Morgan through that four-game stretch was a debilitating thing for the Wolverines. It really, not just for him as a starting center. Mitch McGarry filled in ably for that up until last night. But the real problem is that they weren't able to play two big men together very much. And against the Spartans, against Wisconsin, that would have been a real aid.
Well, I guess let's take a look at Michigan, first of all, and some of those deficiencies. You know, it was brought up multiple times to me last night about the youth of this team, and I think we forget that a little bit because we look at Burke and what he's done over the last 2 years. We look at Hardaway, who's a junior, and those two guards are carrying this team. But after that, this is really a young ball club, and they are still learning how to win on the road, and those are some tough lessons.
Yeah, although I'm not going to give them a full pass for that, because everybody has played now 20 plus games, and they've played enough games on the road. They played at Ohio State, they played at Indiana, they've played at Wisconsin. That's about as much training as you need, isn't it? I don't think that's not to say that they're going to go in and because they played those three, they're going to go in and beat the Spartans, but they could go in and be more competitive and less intimidated.
Yeah.
Less erratic, so I think that youth is a hollow excuse for a team that's as accomplished as they are.
Well, and I think that's what frustrated John Beilein the most. Kind of reading between the lines of what he said last night is that he thought the guys were excited in the locker room before the game started. They were excited to play in the game, but then when things got tough, he was waiting for somebody to look in somebody's eyes to say, look, we need to step up and stop this run or do this and do that. And he got nothing in return. And I think that's what frustrated him more than anything else last night.
Yeah, I still go back to letting the Wisconsin one get away because last night was going to be hard.
Yeah.
Without Morgan, without full access to Morgan, I think he played 9 minutes last night. The physicality of Adrian Payne and Derek Nix combined with Costello off the bench as well, was going to be a real challenge for Michigan State. And they haven't been able to make their width, let's call it, they haven't been able to make that matter in these road games, partly because they haven't been able to use Glenn Robinson very much or haven't chosen to use him very much. So I think that they needed to be bigger and they weren't able to, and they needed to take advantage of that Wisconsin thing when they had it locked. I mean, you just don't let a game like that get away because you know what's coming on Tuesday.
Right.
So you make sure that when you send those guys out on the floor, that everybody understands a foul means a foul. You don't just say, oh, maybe if I get close enough. No, you're close enough. You foul. It was a drastic mistake that Caris LeVert made. And really no good excuse for it. He's a great athlete. He was given license to play rough. And he wasn't anywhere near the play.
And it's come back to haunt them now.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I think after the game, John was trying to be very upbeat because I think in part because he knew he needed them to stay up.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I knew that they were in trouble because they were very likely to lose the Michigan State game, the first Michigan State game, regardless of what happened in any of the three prior games. Because you're even just the weight of, even if you'd won three games in a row, IU, Ohio State, and then Wisconsin, and you're supposedly flying high, it's just too much to ask to then say, okay, now let's go do it again against a team that really hates you, whose fans are going to be jacked to the ceiling, that's really hot, and that is built to beat you. It just was never going to be a good moment for Michigan last night, and that's why that letting Wisconsin get away, letting the opportunity to go 2-2 through that stretch get away by failing to foul, that was really punitive.
Well, let's talk. Turn our attention to Michigan State a little bit. Tom mentioned this was the best game that he's seen the Spartans play in 3 years, and defensively, I've seen them raise their level. More importantly, coming from Keith Appling, I think he's kind of setting the tone on the defensive end. Trey Burke still got his last night, but he had to work very, very hard to do that. Tell me what you see in the Spartans' defensive intensity and maybe how it's changed here over the last month or so.
I think it's just you talk about young teams, and I think that the Spartans were something of a young team when the season began. Derek Nix had never been a starter or a full-time player. He'd been in the lineup, but he had been a halftime player, 20-minute guy. Adrian Payne, they struggled with that too big alignment early and almost abandoned it, or actually did for a short period of time.
Right.
And now they see what a value it is. Brandon Dawson is starting to find a way to matter again. And Gary Harris, with his ability, is starting to be one of the great freshmen in the country. And I've never lost faith in Appling. I've consistently defended him as a point guard because I thought if he couldn't make plays for himself off the bounce, then I would have said okay. But he was so good with the pick and roll that I always believed that he would be sufficient, if not better than that, to be a really good basketball team. And I'm very pleased to see him coming along so well, and there was never any question that he would be a very good defender. He's tough, and he's got good size, and he's well coached. And really, I mean, those three things in combination with good athletic ability, I mean, that's really all you need to be a good defender. You have to be tough, you have to be willing, you have to understand what you're doing by being coached, and you have to be quick enough to stay in front of the guy. And he does all those things, so I never had any doubt that he would be a very good point guard defender at this level.
Mike DeCourcy, college basketball writer from the Sporting News. You also see him on the Big Ten Network, joining us for a couple of minutes here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. Mike, good news, bad news. The good news is for Tom Izzo, he's seen how well his team can play when they put it all together. He's been telling us that all season long. You know, one of these days, we're going to put it all together. The bad news for his players, now he's going to hold them to that standard because he knows now that they can do that, and he's going to hold them to that standard for the rest of the year.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that you're going to play many games that well. I don't know that you need to play many games that well in order to be as successful as this team is capable of being. You don't have to be able to beat one of the top five to seven teams in the country by 25 in order to get to the Final Four or to do some damage once there. You just have to be in that ballpark. And I think they've been at that level really for a while now. I think that's now 10 and 11,
yep.
10 victories in 11 games. You go back to the Indiana game. I don't remember what the date of that was. That game was all the way back on January 27th. So we're two weeks into February, 2.5 weeks removed from that game. And they were really good that day. I was at Big Ten Network that day, and everybody that I watched that game with was like, wow. Dave Revson made particular comments about how on our show Big Ten and Beyond about how impressed he was by how well the Spartans played in that game. And that's in a loss. That's in the only loss they've had since January 5th. So I think they're in great shape. They're moving in the right direction. Obviously, you want to stay healthy. You want to take care of business. You've got some very challenging games coming up. You've got IU in a couple of games, February 19th. That's a big one, and one they're going to want to be really good in, because IU, at its best, is the best team in the country. Michigan's A-plus game like they played last night versus Indiana's A-plus game like they played maybe at Ohio State, I still think Indiana's a few points better.
Yep.
But your job as Michigan State is to make sure that Indiana doesn't get to its A-plus game, and they're certainly capable of that.
Well, does this win last night, do you think, make Michigan State the favorite now to win the Big Ten? Although, you know, we still talk about some of those difficult games that they have left, Indiana at home, you know, and going through the rest of their schedule. Does this one make Michigan State the team to beat?
I'm going to say no, for the reason that two reasons. One, that I already put out there, and two, the schedule for Michigan State is much harder. When you look at Indiana's schedule, now obviously they have to come to
East Lansing.
To East Lansing, but then they also have wrapped around that Nebraska, Purdue, Minnesota, and home against Iowa. Those games are not as daunting as the stretch that the Spartans are about to embark on. And then when the Hoosiers play Indiana and Michigan, Ohio State and Michigan, they get Ohio State at home. So I think that the schedule is more challenging for Michigan State down the stretch. Now, the advantage they have, obviously, is they get the Hoosiers at home, and that could give them a one-game lead that the Hoosiers would have to scramble back to recover.
Well, we have a question for you, if we can take one real quick. Michael is in Saginaw, and he's got a quick question for you. Michael, go ahead.
This is a good question. Michigan State had Brandon Wood on their team last year, and from Northwestern, he's out for the year, too. What about the transfer rules now? Because you can graduate at another university and you can transfer to another university and play right away. Do you think the NCAA is going to try to tweak those rules a little bit, or are they just going to keep things as they is?
I'm a huge fan of that rule. I like that rule because it rewards an athlete for graduating from the school, which is kind of the goal. I'm a huge fan of that. If it's in your best interest to move on, I think that's what you should be allowed to do. The idea that, oh, look what the college has invested in the player. Well, hasn't the player repaid that by, A, presumably following all the rules and going to class and getting a degree? And if you really want to keep him around, then he must have invested in your team well enough so that he paid back your investment in him. I don't buy the idea at all that it's unfair to the previous school. I don't like the idea that people are going around recruiting guys off of other teams, but if that's going on in that circumstance, then it's going on in the other circumstance as well, and that's up to the coaches to police and behave properly.
Well, and I know you were very outspoken when Brandon Kearney decided to transfer away from Michigan State. And that could have been something that could have been debilitating for this team. He was one of their best perimeter defenders, but really they haven't missed anything without him.
Yeah, you know, some of it is that there isn't a great need for his minutes. I mean, they have in Gary Harris a terrific perimeter defender. Brandon Dawson's filling a lot of those three-man minutes.
Denzel, you know, Valentine's growing up a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly. Denzel's another guy, a very versatile guy and tough. And so I think they're fine without him. I was critical of Brandon because I don't think that you gain anything by doing that. You lose a lot of games. It's kind of a con job that coaches pull, saying, oh, you know, you get to play right away. You all have to sit out a whole year. Well, yeah, you kind of really do have to sit out a whole year, and you lose 20 to 30 games from your career. Don't see how that's a good deal for anybody.
Yeah, well, it will yet to be seen how that works out for him at Arizona State. Mike, we appreciate the time as always. I wish I had better news on the Liverpool front. I don't think you had a chance to see Monday's game because you were traveling. It was probably better that you didn't see it.
I T-voted, and it was not pleasant.
No, it wasn't. Well, I hope we can catch up soon. I don't know if you're going to be in East Lansing next Tuesday or not, but if you are, that should be one heck of a game with the Hoosiers.
We'll see what we can do. Thanks, Jeremy.
All right, Mike, good to talk to you. Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News joining us for a couple of minutes here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. Great insight. He is one of the best when it comes to college basketball writers, and his insight is second to none. He's done a great job on TV, too, at the Big Ten Network. We invite you to stay tuned for more Sports Talk right after this short break, right here on WKAR AM 870.
On the next Fresh Air, the story of the Dead Sea Scrolls, the manuscripts dating back to the time of Jesus that were found between 1947 and 1956 in caves by the Dead Sea. Why were they there? Who wrote them? Why were Jews prevented from joining the first panel of scholars interpreting the scrolls? We talk with John Collins, author of The Dead Sea Scrolls, a biography. Join us.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 p.m. right here on AM 870 WKAR Radio.
I'm Scott Pohl. Thank you for tuning in today. It'll be mostly sunny today, and the high will be 37. Partly cloudy and a low of 28 tonight. Thursday, mostly cloudy with a chance of light rain and snow, the high 40. Cloudy and windy with a chance of snow Friday. The high will be in the upper 20s.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. Jeremy Sampson with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon, talking sports with you. And more specifically, we're really diving in-depth into that Michigan-Michigan State game last night. Of course, the Spartans victorious 75-52, a scoreline I don't think any of us saw coming. And for more perspective on that game, we're going to bring in Michigan State beat writer from the Detroit Free Press, Joe Rexroad. Joe, looking around the press room last night at the end of the game, I saw a lot of looks of amazement, and I know you were a little surprised at the margin of the outcome as well.
Well, yeah, I think the dean is trying to say now that that's exactly the score he picked.
Yeah, right. We both know better than that.
Yeah. I don't know anyone else claiming that. Yeah, it's I picked Michigan State to win a close game, and I wasn't even sure about that pick. Like, I don't know. Maybe, Michigan will get them. I certainly thought it would be a competitive game, but, Michigan State just played defensively unbelievable basketball and just seemed to, at some point, really just crush Michigan's will. I think the Michigan State and its crowd, which I think really was one of the best ever in that building.
Well, let's talk about, and I'm with you with the crowd. My ears are still ringing. But the defensive part for me is what I've seen change most in this team. I think offensively, they finally have a bit of a rotation. Guys know their roles now. I think everybody's comfortable with that. But for me, the defensive intensity and where it picked up, I've seen it pick up with Keith Appling, that he's kind of leading the charge. You know, he's in guys. I call it being in their kitchen. He's right on top of guys. Trey Burke still scored, but he had to work very hard for his points last night. Tell me about how you kind of see this defensive work for Michigan State and maybe how it's changed over the last two or three weeks.
Yeah, well, see, the thing is, even in the last two or three weeks, they've had a couple games where they weren't great on defense. Even like the Illinois game, had some gaps. But I think more and more they're showing the ability to do what they did last night, really suffocate teams. But they haven't done it to that extent. And especially when you consider, basically, Michigan is the most efficient offensive team in the country. I think last night was a totally new level. But I agree that, like, offensively, it's been kind of come along, and defensively, maybe there's more progress. The thing that I would contrast last night with would be, like, say, the Miami game. Talking about a road game, but and a long time ago. But the way they struggled in that game with the ball screens and giving up penetration and wide open shots. And you compare last night's team to the team that was on the floor against Miami. It's a dramatic difference. So I'm sure progress is part of it. And I'm also sure that just the intensity and focus for this particular game was a part of it. So now it'll be interesting to see if Michigan State Michigan State's not going to play like that every night. They do. They won't lose again. Okay. But can they take some of that and make it more consistent and keep building? Because they can defend close to that with what all the things that they have going offensively right now, that's a scary team.
Well, I called it good news, bad news a couple minutes ago with Mike DeCourcy. Good news for Spartan fans that and Tom Izzo that they've seen what this team can do. Bad news for the team because now they will be held to that standard that we know you can play that way. Now you need to show it on a consistent basis, like you're saying. And Tom's good at getting the best out of his teams as we get closer to March. And we see this team again taking those steps and getting better. But now it's going to be for the players. They're going to be held accountable to that standard that they showed last night.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, I mean, it's like, well, you can't go backward now. And like you said, I mean, Izzo certainly will be looking very closely and holding the team accountable in that way. And you know, this next game is an interesting test because I mean, there's never been a bigger sandwich game than this. I mean,
sure.
You're talking about
yep.
Nebraska between Michigan and probably number one Indiana. I mean, my goodness, you know, you can't have a better excuse to lose focus than this game. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, the Spartans can, you know, have that maturity and still come out with intensity and energy and be prepared to play Nebraska. And one thing that may help them in that way is that, you know, they should remember that wasn't that long ago they were in a, you know, 2-point game at home with Nebraska in the last few minutes of the game. So maybe that'll help them in that way.
Well, and from the Michigan perspective, I think what concerned John Beilein the most, and you touched on it a little bit, is that when things went bad and they went back to the huddle and he looked in guys' eyes, I don't think he saw the want to back to him that we're going to come back in this game. And I'm wondering if you think that's going to be a little bit of a concern for Michigan moving on. Now, their schedule gets much easier. They just went through a brutal four-game schedule. But that pushback from the team wasn't there last night.
Yeah, that's true, and which is surprising because, you know, Michigan dug huge holes at Ohio State and at Indiana and came back both times and showed that fire and fight and, you know, really almost stole the Ohio State game. And at least, you know, we're right there and competitive late in that Indiana game. And I don't know, you know, again, I think you can look at it. Coaches will say, you know, when you have a stretch like that at the end of it, you're tired. And I know fans don't like hearing that. And when Michigan State goes through these stretches and they have a bad performance late in one, fans don't want to hear, you know, come on, these guys are 20-year-old kids. What are you talking about, tired? But it's not like they're too tired to go out there and play, but to play with the energy and intensity you need to compete in a game like this. You know, maybe it's not as easy after a stretch like this, but I think, you know, I think maybe there's probably a lot of factors, but I think at some point they just got frustrated. They weren't getting what they wanted on offense, and they absolutely had no answers for Michigan State. And you go down, you want to go double next? Okay, well, here's a wide open three for you. You know, I mean, you're going to single him up? Okay, he's just going to score you. I mean, Michigan State right now really has it going inside and outside, and so, yeah, I was surprised at it, though. And, yeah, I mean, stuff like Tim Hardaway, you know, not doing, you know, participating in the warm-ups at halftime and stuff. And I don't know what's up with Glenn Robinson, but he's clearly not playing like he was earlier in the year. So they've got issues. Like you said, now go home, get a lot of time off, and they will never play. That team will never play in an environment anything like that the rest of the season.
No, they will not see anything like that. I don't know if you saw a couple minutes ago, it's being tweeted out, Kentucky has announced now that Nerlens Noel tore his ACL last night. That has been confirmed, and he is out for the season. So, obviously, a guy who was going to be or was on most people's draft boards as the number one pick is now out for the year with a torn ACL, and he will have a 6 to 9 month road coming back from that. So that hurts them. And we keep getting these little nagging injuries with Michigan State. I mean, last night it was Brandon Dawson. He looked like he'd been in a 12-round fight with, Ivan Drago. I mean, he was so woozy on the bench last night. He'd be helped into the locker room. He didn't talk to the media afterwards, although looking at him moving around the locker room and talking to people, he seemed like he was a lot better than he was sitting out on the floor. But these nagging injuries for Michigan State kind of keep cropping up, don't they?
Yeah, and it's like they're just all smacked in the face or, you know, I mean, like every game someone gets popped by someone, you know. I think most of them are, you know, either inadvertent. It's just almost weird. But, yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, they didn't let Dawson talk to us last night, but I watched him a little bit too, and he seemed totally fine to me. He was in there chatting with people and then left. So I don't think that's a concern as far as like a Trice-like situation, but obviously it was a little bit scary for him. I believe he'll be fine moving forward. But, when does Trice come back? And the Gary Harris stuff wasn't really a, obviously he played great last night. He didn't seem to be having any trouble moving last night, so maybe he's starting to put those back spasms behind him. And you know, if this team can get through all that stuff and get fully healthy and get all the players, you know, in a rotation and things like that, then I think it can even get better.
Well, I asked Mike this, and I'll pose the same question to you. Does this make Michigan State now the favorite to win the Big Ten?
Well, I'd like to answer that after the Indiana game.
Well, that will tell us a whole lot.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't know if I'm ready to say that, because you look at Indiana with two losses right now. I mean, Indiana still has to come here, and of course they still have to go to Ann Arbor, so when you look at the schedule, Michigan State still has to go to Ohio State and Ann Arbor, and they're in a virtual tie. So, I mean,
I guess it doesn't make them the favorite, but it certainly, I mean, if Michigan would have won that game last night, I didn't see any way that they weren't at least getting a share of the title, and it would have made Michigan State's road a lot tougher.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a huge game in the race for both teams, and either way it would have been, I mean, yeah, I agree. I think if Michigan would have won, I think Michigan still would have been in great shape to get an outright title, possibly, you know, or have a shot at it. And but I still think you look at how it, if you looked at probability, you would conclude a three-way tie at 14-4 right now. You know, if the contenders are going to beat each other, you know, when the contenders are at home, yep, home wins, and then if take care of the non-contenders, then these three would finish 14-4. And so, I think Michigan State's obviously in great position to do that. But, boy, if Indiana plays the way Indiana played at Ohio State on Sunday, Tuesday is not going to be anything like last night's game. It's going to be, you know, very competitive.
Well, let me ask you one quick football question before we let you go. I know you had a chance to go over, Mark D'Antonio has opened up some of the winter workouts for the football team at, I believe, what, 4:45 in the morning, is that right?
Yeah, it started at 5:30.
Started at 5:30, okay, 5:30 in the morning. What was it like? What did you see? We haven't had that access before, so if you can, kind of give us a little bit of, paint a picture of what it was like.
I mean, it was interesting. You know, that day was agility. He has agility one day, speed on Wednesdays, and then power on Friday, where they do like the tractor tires and all that stuff. You know, this was the agility day. So, you know, all the coaches, the coaching staff is allowed to participate too. So they all had their own station, and they're allowed to participate in conditioning only. Obviously, they're not coaching football stuff.
Yep.
It's conditioning stuff. And a lot of, you know, these stations, and it's pretty intense, 90 minutes, and they're going through all this stuff and really competing. They're pitting guys against each other at positions. You can see that clearly. You had Andrew Maxwell, Connor Cook, and Tyler Connor. Those three were head-to-head in every drill, and it's, a lot of it is like stop and start running and lateral movement and stuff like that. But, I mean, it was intense. There were more than a couple guys were found their way to the buckets and put their head in there for a couple minutes. You know, I mean, it's and so it was kind of interesting. I mean, I had seen several years ago. I did a story on those workouts, but they're different. And a big difference is that, you know, Ken Manning actually wrote something about this today, lost in all the hoop stuff. But, you know, Ken Manning's big on the, and not the whole coaching staff, big on, you know, trying to locate leaders. And so they got the leadership circle at the end, and players have to step up and talk and introduce their own exercise and a winning thought and things like that. And they're trying to use this to also get more vocal leadership, which I do think was not as strong last year. And certainly, you know, when you lose a Kirk Cousins, that's a big loss in that way. But it was interesting. And got to talk to a couple of the guys afterward. And, I mean, hey, these guys definitely work hard, you know, all year long, really, for 12 games or whatever it is, 13.
Did you learn anything about any individual players, or was it, you know, too difficult to judge if maybe, you know, so-and-so was faster or quicker? I mean, was it too hard to do that on any individual players?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was watching the running backs a little bit. Nick Tompkins, he looks quick, you know, and he's little. You know, you're trying to look at those guys and see about them, watching the quarterbacks. You know, Tyler O'Connor had one of the bronze jerseys, you know, which is like for guys who are really standing out. One guy who stood out and who also had a bronze jersey, and again, that's if you, it's like a scale of 1 to 12. If you get a 10 or more, then the next practice you get to wear one of those. But Demetrius Cox just looks like a stud. You know?
Well, we heard a lot about him last year.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's, you know, and Mark D'Antonio said more than once, you know, he easily could have played if it had the red shirt not been decided on early. He easily would have been playing at the end of the year. So watch out for that guy to find his way onto the field one way or another.
All right, Joe. Well, again, we appreciate a couple minutes. Again, a surprising outcome last night, but one that will make this Big Ten race even more interesting, I think, here over the next 3.5 weeks or so.
No question. It's going to be a great race to the end.
All right. Try and get that ringing out of your ears.
Will do.
All right, Joe. Thanks. Joe Rexroad, Michigan State beat writer at the Detroit Free Press, taking a couple of minutes today to break down that Michigan State win last night over the University of Michigan. Alex, you want to do the drawing right now for the hockey tickets?
Can definitely do that, Jeremy. We have two winners for the hockey tickets. The first winner is Jane Cronister from Holt, and then our second winner is Wayne Gregg from Williamston. So congratulations. We'll be contacting you at the end of today's show.
All right. Congratulations to both of you. One will go on Friday and the other one will go on Saturday. And we hope that you enjoy the hockey game this weekend against Northern Michigan. Again, Michigan State is in last place in the CCHA, but Northern Michigan just in front of them. And Michigan State, with a sweep, could get out of the basement and crawl into 10th place in the CCHA. We invite you this afternoon to tune in to WILX-TV at 5:30 for today's airing of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Dave Ellis, who lives in East Lansing, who works here at Michigan State as they call him a video producer in the athletic department, one of my mentors in this business. His show airs today again at 5:30. We will have, he's having a watch party as well at the Spartan Hall of Fame Cafe. So if you're out and about this afternoon, this evening, and you want to stop in, I know there'll be lots of friends there. We're going to do some things with him on TV as well on WILX-TV at 5 and 6 o'clock, a little before the show and a little after the show. And then tomorrow, Dave will be in studio with us, and we'll kind of discuss what it was like on the show, meeting Meredith, going to New York, and all those things, since it's been several months since he did it. He went in the fall, and we looked last night, they edited the show in December. So this show has been set and ready to go now for a couple of months. So I know how he did. I won't give it away. I have been telling a lot of people, the only thing I can tell you is that he won more than $1,000 and less than $1 million. So somewhere in there lies what he did. So we'll have Dave on tomorrow, but we invite you to watch that this afternoon and root him on for sure. Casey Lubon, the Michigan State men's golf coach, will join us on Thursday afternoon as well. So we'll talk to him. The Spartans coming off a runner-up appearance in the Big Ten Match Play Championships. And then coming up on Friday, Jake Boss Jr.'s got his team in South Carolina to begin their season. We will touch base with him. And we're also efforting now Travis Bader, formerly of Okemos High School, now, of course, a junior with Oakland University and their basketball team, leading the NCAA in three-point shots made this season. So that's kind of how the rest of the week will shake out here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. I want to thank Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News and the Big Ten Network for joining us for a couple of minutes this afternoon, giving us his excellent college basketball insight, and also Joe Rexroad from the Detroit Free Press as he broke down the Michigan-Michigan State game as well. Also adding a little insight there on football as spring practice is not too far away. But we'll have Dave on and a whole lot more coming up tomorrow. We thank all of you for calling in today and listening as well. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV. I'll be back with you again tomorrow at 1 o'clock. From Michigan State University, this is AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great day.
This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.